The first reading is Genesis 18, 1-10. It's the story of Abraham receiving three mysterious visitors and their promise that Sarah will bear him a son. It's a very important moment in salvation history. So, the text says, the Lord, Adonai, appeared to him by the oak of Mamre. And he was sitting there, that's Abraham, by the door, the gate, the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And he raised his eyes, and he saw, and he looked, and behold, three men were coming toward him, or standing near him already. Now this is very mysterious, isn't it? Because when he answers, he says, and he said, "My Lord, if I find favor in your sight, in your eyes, then don't pass by your servant." Now, there's three of them. Why does he say, "My Lord"? Now, this is typical of the sensitivity of the fathers of the church. Why does he see three men and then say, "My Lord," in the singular? And their answer is, he sees three, but he adores one. It's a mystery of the Trinity adumbrated. Tres vidit et unum adoravit. And if you know that famous icon of Rublev, where there are three there, and Abraham is waiting on them. The icon of the Trinity, it's called. Trinity icon. And it's based on this text. So, and he says, "Adonai, my Lord," you see, "if I found favor in your sight," and so forth. So take a little water and refresh yourself. Wash your feet and relax under the tree. And so, now that you have come to your servant, let me bring you a little food that you may refresh yourself. This is so Semitic. A little food is going to be a whole calf. You know, I'm just going to get the sandwich out of the fridge. This is a meal. And, you know, slaughter a calf, drain the blood out, cook it on a spit. You know, this is a meal. When I lived over there, we would go on these geographical and archaeological trips. And very often, Bishara, the cook, back at the Ecole, would be with us, even though there would still be people back at the Ecole. And he would barter with one of the Bedouins to get a lamb. And he'd slaughter the lamb, hang it up and drain its blood, put it on a spit over the fire. And by the time we came back at night, about 5 or 6, there'd be a beautiful lamb meal all prepared. Do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, 3 measures of bran flour, knead it and make bread." Now do you see the theme of welcoming the word? You see, he ran to the herd, picked out a tender, choice calf, and gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it as quickly as he could, but you're going to roast a whole, you know, calf. Then he got some curds and milk, as well as the calf that had been prepared, and he set these before them, waiting on them under the tree while they ate. "Now, where is your wife?" they asked him. It's a plural. "They're in the tent," he replied. One of them, see that same rhythm again, said, "I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, just behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years, and Sarah had stopped having her menstrual periods. So Sarah laughed to herself and said, "Now that I am worn out and my husband is old, am I still to have sexual pleasure? The pleasure of bearing children is giving birth." But the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really bear a child, old as I am? Is anything too marvelous for the Lord to do? At the appointed time, about this time next year, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son. Now this is marvelous, isn't it? This is the promise that there will be an heir to Abraham. This is God fulfilling his promise. He promised Abraham, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the desert. And he believed him. And that was credited to him as justice. But he didn't realize the full truth of that promise. He welcomed that word. He took it in. He said, yes, Lord. When then Isaac was born, he said, there is the fulfillment of the word of the Lord. There it is. And that is the one upon whom all the blessings come. Now, in the meanwhile, he had also had intercourse with Hagar, who bore him another son. He's the father of all we would call today the Arab tribes. They were at odds back there in the household of Abraham, and they still are at odds. And they will be at odds until they both recognize Christ. And then the Lord Christ, who is their child, who is their offspring, especially of the Jews, will bring peace to them. That's what we pray for, that moment when they both welcome this word who's already come among us and is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so this is the word that Abraham welcomed. Remember, he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So welcoming the word is a matter of faith. We ourselves, you know, can examine our conscience. We know the word of God. We know what the Lord's promised. I'll be with you until the end of the world. Wherever two or three are gathered, I'm with them. You know? You go to confession and your sins are forgiven. These are my words to you. Do you welcome them? To say nothing of, this is my body, this is my blood. Do you welcome that word? Do you take it in? Is it real to you? You see? Or is it a ceremony on Sunday morning? And that's what it means to take in the word, to welcome the word. And so, now, this text has, is anything too marvelous? There is a way as well that there's another phrase in that encounter. It's just right after the verses we have. I want to read it to you because it's important to understand something that the angel says to Mary. Let's find it here. Genesis. See, when the angel says, don't laugh, you were laughing. I did not. Yes, you laughed. You must understand, nothing is impossible to God. Now, isn't that what Gabriel says to Our Lady? Yes. You will conceive and bear a son miraculously, and he will be the very Word of God. He will be the Son of God. And she accepted that word. She welcomed it in. You see how it's faith? Yes, I agree. And that, you see, because you will accept this, because nothing is impossible to God. And that's what the angel says here in this context. Nothing is impossible to God. So, do we welcome the word? When the Lord is speaking to us through the scriptures, promising us life, eternal life, telling us that he loves us, that he wants to know, be known by us. Do we take in that word? Do we welcome that word? In that sense, do we conceive a word, bear it, and give birth to it by sharing it with others? Or is our prayer time just sort of looking at the thing for edifying thoughts? The Bible is not edifying thoughts. It is the Word of God. And it's the Word of God addressed to everyone who reads it. The Lord has a word for you there. And that's what it means to welcome the Word with an open heart. Now, that means most of the time that when we start to read the Scripture in our prayer time or other time, we have to tell the Lord we're ready to accept and embrace and welcome anything he wants to say. Because, as I said at the beginning, you see, Augustine already observed, men delight in the word when it enlightens them, but they hate it when it accuses them. But how are we going to get free from sin unless the Lord points it out to us? And then we repent and change. And as we do, we are made more like the Word incarnate and more able to welcome the Word and have him dwell in us. You know, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is all the power of this Word when it's welcomed, when he is welcomed. And that's the reason why the theme of the week, of this Sunday, is welcoming the Word. But you say, the Lord never talks to me. I promise you, he does. You just got to listen. You can't just go to say your prayers and leave. You have to be with the Lord. And for somebody who really wants to take their life seriously, that means an hour a day. So what does that mean? It means going to bed on time. Otherwise, you won't get up on time. And if you don't get up on time, you'll rush around getting everything. If you're the one, if you're going to work, eat your breakfast and out the door, and you're pummeled all day by distractions and all temptations and everything, how are you going to pray? If you want to welcome the Lord, welcome the Word, get up on time and pray in quiet. And if we're already seeing the Word, you see, you first, listen and praise God, and then you listen to the Word. And then you repent. First you hear the word, then you repent, then you welcome it, and finally you praise. You praise God. And you say, I got to praise God now for 15 minutes. How am I going to do that? Oh, Lord, I praise you. I thank you. I love you. I'm all out of words. What do I do now? You ask the Holy Spirit to come. And then you can have a list in front of you of the things you want to praise and thank him for, so that you do it. We thank you and praise you for your glory, for all you've done for us, that you've saved us from hell, that you enlighten us, that you've brought us into the church, that we feed on your body and blood. We praise and thank you. He loves to hear that because it comes from a heart that loves him and whom he loves. Amen. Mm-hmm.